Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill. We're so grateful that you've tuned in. And we're just really very grateful to God for where he has placed us for such a time as this. And what a guest we have. We have got our dear friend, Mr. Dan Fraley. And I know, Ms. Barbara Moore, it's like a calming effect when Mr. Dan comes on for me. I know we're grateful to have him on. Well, I'm going to turn this over to Ms. Barbara Moore to start us off on the right footing.
Well, thank you, Diane. I appreciate that so much. And it is indeed a pleasure to have Dan Fraley back with us. We have missed him. He hasn't been able to come on with us as frequently as he did in the past. So we are delighted that he's here. I want to start us off, though, giving the prayer declaration or proclamation that occurred back in 1774. You know, I mentioned several things recently on the show about Henry Knox bringing down the armaments, the artillery from Fort Ticonderoga down to Boston. We talked about General Washington placing the cannons and all in the hills and how that came to be and the miracles that God did for them at that time. But throughout the colonies earlier, there was a Boston Tea Party where all the tea was poured into the harbor, and the colonists refused to pay the tax on tea, even though it was just a tiny, tiny, tiny tax, knowing that if they paid it, that would be acknowledging that the government had the power to tax them and that that would be only the beginning. So they stood on principle. Well, England came back and proclaimed that they were going to shut the port of Boston on June 1st. And as a result of that, all the colonies came, they sent all sorts of goods and money and medicines, everything to the people of Boston who would not be able to get the things they needed when the port was shut down. And so anyway, there was there were proclamations all over the colonies for fasting and prayer, and Thomas Jefferson's Virginia proclamation, he is governor, gave this proclamation. This House, being deeply impressed with apprehension from the hostile invasion of the city of Boston, whose commerce and harbor are, on the first day of June next, to be stopped by an armed force, deem it highly necessary that the said first day of June be set apart by the members of this House as a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, devoutly to implore the divine interposition for averting the heavy calamity which threatens destruction of our civil rights. And I would suggest to you that we need those days proclaimed by our leaders, once again, days of fasting, humiliation, and prayer, to implore the divine interposition. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, Lord, that we can come to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and that we do have freedom of access, Father, that when we turn to you, and Father, as you tell us in your word, to turn from our wicked ways and come into your presence, into your light, Father, that you have compassion on us, Lord, and you desire us to do that. You desire, Father, that all should come to you, Lord, that everyone, Father, should come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and to be able to come freely to your throne of grace and mercy. And we pray that, Father. We pray that for our loved ones, all those that we come in contact with, Father, the lost throughout our country. We pray for salvation, Father, first and foremost, and throughout the world, Lord, that many will come into your kingdom to know you, to love you, to serve you, and, Father, that you will be able to fulfill your plan in each one. We pray that, Father, and we pray, Lord, that you would be with us now. Open our hearts and minds to you, O God, and to your truth, that we might have the mind of Christ and know the thoughts, the feelings, and the purposes of your heart, Lord, for this hour, for this time. Help us, O God, and we do always pray for the protection of Israel. And, Father, protection especially for the leaders, in that you would give them wisdom to know what to do during this time. And for our troops, Lord, we pray for your protection for them and your blessing upon them, O God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Barbara. Hi there, Mr. Dan.
Hello, how are you all?
Oh, we are good, and it is, it's really great for listeners that have not heard Mr. Dan Fraley before. He is he calls himself a student of Hebraic roots. He's been studying it for so long, though, Ms. Barbara, I think we need to change that to teacher of Hebraic roots.
Well, definitely teacher, too, but, you know, because we will always be students, though. We will never, ever plummet the depths that we, you know, there is always more to learn from God.
That is so true, and it's like the Bible, isn't it? I mean, you can never understand that Bible. There's so much fruit in even just a word or a paragraph, and, you know, it can satisfy. I used to be an avid reader. Now it's like I'm complete. My want is made complete. I have my big book of many books of that. So, but anyway, Mr. Dan, I know we want to talk about Israel. You know, Netanyahu has just been here to make his speech at AIPAC, and I just want to know what your thoughts are, your perspective, because this is something that you study so that you can, you know, tell us what is really going on behind what we're hearing in the news.
Well, are you all ready for this?
I don't know.
I was highly upset, you know, with the speech and the way things are going on, the way the nation seemed to be turning against Israel and all the propaganda and the anti-Semitism that's going on in the globe. But the Lord just laid just as plain as day on my heart and said that you have to have a Gethsemane experience before you can be led to the light of the Lord. And I thought about that, so I went and read the scriptures where Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, which, of course, is the olive press, which is a stone. And right now, and he kind of laid on my heart to replace him with the nation of Israel here in the last days, because he was the leader in the beginning to show the way, and now Israel seems to be emulating a lot of the things that Jesus himself went through, and they're going through as a nation the same way. And what came to my heart when I started reading this is that Jesus is praying for this cup to pass from him, knowing that it's the will of the Father, because prophecies of the scriptures can't be fulfilled without God's plan of salvation. His plan of salvation has certain elements that have to be done. And as I was thinking about all these powers coming against Israel and the nations turning their back on Israel and being so frustrated, the Lord just led a scripture in my mind, Zechariah 4:6, where it says, "Not by power nor by might, but my spirit." So it's inevitable that the nations will turn their backs on Israel here in these last days, so God can be the one that brings Israel out of its time of the Gethsemane experience, out of the darkness. Isn't that kind of interesting? And I can go on about this. When the three disciples were praying and Jesus came over and reprimanded them because they wouldn't stay watchful and they wouldn't stay awake and pray, I kind of correlated that with Christians today, that we are the disciples. The Lord said, go and make disciples of all nations, and we are those nations that disciples have been made out of. But yet, we are as the disciples, and we are asleep at the job, because during this time of Israel's imminent darkness, and by the way, there's a scripture also, in Luke, which says, this is the time of darkness. But these three disciples that were asleep and Jesus had to wake up is the same situation that we're in. Basically, we're asleep. A lot of the Christians in the world haven't been called to be prayer warriors for Israel, but a lot of us have been called to be prayer warriors for Israel. But a lot of the church has forsaken Israel. And to me, I want to be on the right side. I cannot turn against Israel when Israel is going to have a time at his second coming that they're going to be glorified. I want to be part of that glorification of the house of Israel. And how can I be glorified if I'm standing on the other side of the fence and rejecting Israel because I feel that they're doing things wrong against the Palestinian brothers? It's just an interesting concept. So if you go to that experience where Jesus is in the garden praying and all of that and kind of related to what's going on, even Peter denying Christ. Are we not, in a sense, denying Israel, the body of Christians? A lot of us believe that we are the church, we are God's new chosen, that Israel has been replaced by us, that we are the righteous children of God, and so on and so forth, but yet we reject a lot of the teachings of the scriptures, and we want to incorporate our pagan doctrines in that, and then we wonder why we don't get a touch from God sometimes like we ought to. You know, it just goes on and on, but and I'm excited about this. The Lord just laid in my heart just as plain as day. He's got everything in control. Everybody thinks that they've got one up on God and they're helping God out and doing all these things. And God knows exactly what he's doing. And it just excites me that Benjamin Netanyahu stood up and says, well, if the world turns against me, I am going to stand up and protect Israel with God's help.
And that's right.
The very name Benjamin Netanyahu is interesting because Benjamin means son of mine. Netanyahu is the gift of God. I'm not saying he is the Messiah, but just the very name that he has is sanctioned by God during this day and time. That makes sense.
Yes, well, Mr. Dan, Miss Barbara. Somebody had mentioned something about Ahmadinejad and the name Haman.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what a correlation that is. Hitler, Haman, Abimajab, all these people that tried to do away with the children of Israel and wipe them off the face of the earth, they call it the Haman principle. Haman was hung on his own gallows. So to me, I'm expecting for Iran to be hung on its own nuclear weapon, if that makes sense.
I am too, Dan. And you know what? Benjamin Netanyahu gave Barack Obama the Book of Esther as a parting gift or when he arrived. But anyway, he placed into his hands the Book of Esther. And when I heard that, and I thought, well, now, you know, that whole scenario of Haman preparing the gallows for Mordecai, the righteous one, and then Haman himself being hung on the very gallows that he had prepared and built for Mordecai. And I got very excited, but I didn't really, you know, thank you for sharing that and confirming that. And you know, the Garden of Gethsemane was where the betrayal took place. You know, not only the, you know, the suffering in the darkness, but that's where the betrayal took place.
Exactly.
Which scares me.
Wow. And Mr. Dan, you are opening our eyes. I love that when he talked about Benjamin's name, Netanyahu's name, and but it's also fitting at this time. You know, the names and the stage is set. And what is happening on in Israel at this time of the year, Mr. Dan?
Exactly. We're coming into the Pesach season, the season of unleavened bread, and there's a lot of teaching there. The Christians call this time of year the Lenten season, and the Lenten season's at the wrong time. It's the wrong season. Basically, what we have done is we have taken the word, it's very pagan, by the way. Oh, this is going to blow your mind, too. Guess where the Lenten season was incorporated or where it was started? It was started at the church of the Laodicean church in 362 A.D. You remember in the Revelation about the Laodicean church in the last days. And basically, we have placed our principles on the pagan teachings of things like the Lenten season, which is was all set up to prepare for coming in and to worship the sun god and all the gods of Rome and so on and so forth. But here we're coming into the season of unleavened bread, and Jesus rode across the valley of the shadow of death, and they were waving palm branches, and he wept. Why would you weep when you're being greeted as a king, and you are the king in a sense? And he said, I quote, that you did not recognize the time of my coming. The Jews did not recognize the time of his first coming, but they're going to be sure they know that he's coming the second time, even though they think it's the first. It's the Christians who are not going to recognize the second coming, the time of his coming, because they're going to be celebrating it in a different and a wrong way to me. So as we're coming into the Lenten season, Jesus wept. You did not recognize the time of my coming. Waving palm branches. Palm branches are for welcoming in a king, done during the Feast of Tabernacles in the fall. And here we have taken those, the fall days of Teshuvah, the days of repentance, the 30 days plus the 10 days of awe before the Jews went into the temple for Yom Kippur. And that's when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, and we have put it onto the spring. We're still kind of caught up in that first coming of the Messiah, which I'm not saying is a bad thing. It's a great thing. But we're talking so much about it, and we're thinking in our churches, and we're teaching so much about his first coming that we don't concentrate about what to expect and how to act and be as how we're supposed to be in his second coming. In the first coming, the disciples prayed for the king of the Jews. The second coming, the Christians should be on watch, and they should be praying for the Jews of the king, if that makes any sense. And we are asleep at the rock. Jesus is trying to wake us up with the calamities that's happening across this globe. It's time to pray for Israel like we've never prayed before. not that we can do anything materialistically or even material militarily. We can sure get in there and receive some power and might in these last days, because it's going to be by the might of the Spirit of God and the glory of God. It's not going to be by any army coming in trying to protect Israel. God is definitely going to show his face here soon. We are in that time of darkness. We are getting into it rapidly. We see all the things happening, even in our own elections. Is there really any hope? Even if we do get rid of Obama, is there really any hope to get out of the quagmire that we are in without God's help?
No.
I don't think so. The whole world is at a time of darkness. Look at all of the natural disasters, and Islam is destroying people in North Africa by the thousands and thousands. Things are going on. People are starving to death worldwide. The Muslims are using oil as a weapon, and we refuse to acknowledge that. Our own presidency doesn't even want to open up our own reserves because he said, oh, it wouldn't make any difference anyway because it'll take 20 years. The very words opening up the reserves would make the gas prices come down. It seems to me that his hand is in the process of working for the evil aspect of power, thinking he's doing a good thing, like Haman and some all these other evil people did in the past, thinking he's doing a good thing, but it's going to come back to bite him, because God is going to be for his people, with his people, and those that are on the side of his chosen people, and that are grafted on truly to those people that have been chosen by God. And that's where I want to stand. Romans 11:26, you know, explains exactly who we are. We are the graftees. We are part of that natural root system, and we need to start acting like it. I see so many of these churches, the Methodist Church even recently has turned against Israel and started sanctions against Israel. It just doesn't make sense to me. Can't people see? Evidently, their eyes are being blinded because they're not walking in truth. I'm getting preachy here. I'm sorry.
Well, it's true, and as you said, Mr. Dan, me and Ms. Barbara, you know, we listen to a lot of really incredible guests that's trying to tell the truth, but, you know, the mainstream media just keeps plugging away at the same old lies, and it is getting so tiresome, and last night it was, you know, to the point of almost overwhelming, and then I heard a message from a pastor about Gideon and how God whittled it down to that 300 so that he will be given the glory and honor. And I don't know what's ahead, but as we all know, you know, he is in control and we win. We have to fight right now, but we know the end of the story, right, Ms. Barbara? We win.
Well, that's right. I tell you what, Diana, Dan has given us a lot in these few minutes that we've actually been on the air. There's so much there, and so much to think about and to ponder, and also to keep our eyes wide open and our ears open, and to look at everything as we always should, with eternity in mind. And we know, I mean, we know that we're in the last act of the great drama. The last days. There can be no doubt about it. And like you said, we've got to be on the right side, and the right side is with God and his chosen people. Go ahead, Diana.
And Ms. Barbara and Mr. Dan, I am so excited about what Mr. Dan brings, because, you know, there's a lot of people that's searching out there. They're wanting to look into astrology. They're wanting to look into magic. You know, you see how popular Harry Potter is. They know in their soul there is something behind the natural. There is something beside the natural. But when you hear Mr. Dan, and you remind us, really, Mr. Dan, of what happened in the beginning, it's like you're seeing it repeat itself, just as the Bible, you know, is saying. It's really incredible.
I try to pay attention sometimes, or not sometimes, as much as I can to what the Lord lays on my heart, even while you all were speaking, because it reminded me. When Jesus said, I say in Hebrew, leke achari, which means to follow after me and I will make you fishers of men, he brought to my heart that fish that are alive swim against the current. And the current right now is flowing against Israel. And those people that are going with the current are dead fish.
Mm.
How is that?
Wow.
That's
hey, Dan, a couple of things. You know, I'm still pondering this betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane. And, you know, I was thinking China cannot betray Israel because China is not Israel's ally and friend. You know,
exactly.
Other places throughout the world cannot betray Israel because they've never been. It's your friends who can betray you. No one else can betray you. They can be against you, but they can't betray you because they've never been with you. And
exactly.
America, the United States of America, has been with Israel. Well, let's just go back to 1948 when Israel became a nation in May, and within 11 minutes of Israel proclaiming their nationhood, the United States recognized them as a nation and so forth. So, I mean, we've been with Israel, and so we're the only ones who could betray her because
That's
we
right.
have been friends and allies. The other nations, for the most part, have not.
And haven't we done that already? I mean, when I saw the president, Barack Obama, the way he talks about Israel, the way he treats Israel, it's right there before our very eyes. And I know I was very shocked because I never thought I would see that day in my lifetime, but there it is.
Can I read a scripture? Because most of the churches that seem to be coming against Israel are believing the lie that the land belongs to the Palestinians and the Israelis have stole it from them. But it's plain as day in Ezekiel 36:24. Can I read it? Do you have time?
Sure.
Please.
For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean, and I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will take that heart of stone out and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my commandments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. Now, whose land is it? How plain as day can that be?
Wow.
You know, Israel would be much more than willing to share that land with the Palestinians, and they'd be better off living under Israeli rule. And why they constantly fight is because of their indoctrination by the wicked imam influence. It's a scary thing, but it has to happen. Mm. It has to happen.
And Mr. Dan, about Purim, and you know what you just said that Netanyahu gave to Barack Obama, which is I guess he gave it because of that time of the year. I don't know, but it's symbolism, isn't it?
Yeah, you talk about the Feast of Purim that's coming in. It's a secular feast, but it's all to, you know what we were talking about, that Haman situation that happened in the past is what they're celebrating there, that the people of Israel were delivered. And you think about the whole message of that being that just for a time as this, he rose up that certain individual that brought the message to the king, so that Israel could be saved. You know, who is God calling right now that's trying to not listen, that's trying to reject what God is trying to get them to do, even if it's just praying for Israel. And Satan is kind of making them get sleepy because of all the feasting they've done with the Passover meal before they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, we've got salvation and we've gone asleep. We've got a taste of the banquet and we've gone asleep. And here, more than ever, we need to be brothers and sisters with those in Israel and really be sincerely praying for them.
And Purim this year is right at about this time right now, isn't it? Is it this week? Is it? I'm seeing something. I think it says the 7th and the 8th is what I thought I saw. So
yeah.
We're right there.
Yeah, the fast of Esther starts at Wednesday night, so we are on the 8th, which is Purim. Today is Purim. I didn't even realize. Thanks for bringing that to my attention.
Wow. God is in control, and just it's really very amazing. You know, when you ask God for a word, I mean, he really wants to speak with you. And a lot of people, I just don't know what it is, because it's like people are shocked when you share with them that, you know, I believe God is talking to me about this, you know. And but he is such a loving God, and he said, you know, I will not withhold any good thing. I did not even withhold my son from you, you know. So I pray that the listeners, you know, you're seeing God's hand upon today with little Israel, right? Tiny Israel, Mr. Dan, Ms. Barbara, but it's the center of the conflict in this world. Everything that happens, really, Israel is at the center, is it not?
Mm-hmm. You think when Jesus was being arrested at the time there in the Garden of Gethsemane, what happened? The disciples fled. Peter tried to fight for a minute, but then Jesus said, no, not by power, but by might, but by spirit, basically, is what he's saying. And then Peter denies him three times, and the rest of the disciples run off. Is that what we are doing here in the last days? Are Christians denying Israel just before his second coming? Thank God we have a merciful and a forgiving God that will bring us around that campfire at the Sea of Galilee, basically, and say, Dan or Diane or Barb, do you love me? And ask us that three times.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
He's going to ask that of the Christians. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. You know? I don't know. It's interesting. I'm going to read that again tonight slowly and try to see if I can find any more nuggets that correlate in that path to the Gethsemane.
Well, it is really just incredible. And for people that, we don't know when God will come. We don't know when the end will happen. But no one is promised tomorrow. And I'm just looking at Luke 23, verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, this is when he was placed on the cross, and the other man on his side said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And for people that don't know the Lord, Ms. Barbara, wow, they're going to miss out. They're going to miss out on the best thing for eternity. And I know this time that we live in is very perilous. It's very hard. A lot of people out of work, and they're so mad at this person, this leader, and that leader, and they don't think this candidate is going to provide and turn this nation around and this and that. But, you know, when it's all said and done, it is wonderful for us who are called by his name to know we will have a place of rest. We will have that day of rest. Right, Mr. Dan?
Right. And the Lord tells us in Revelation 15 that we will sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. Now, just that right there tells Moses, those that are under the law, and the Lamb, those that are under grace. That's us together with Israel as one singing the same song. Isn't that wonderful?
Mm. Oh, it is. It is wonderful.
Well, Dan,
and Ms. Barbara, I know you're thinking.
Well, I still have some questions going back to the beginning. And Dan, when you said that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, even his name is significant. And I believe you said that Netanyahu means the gift of God. And
yes.
But you also mentioned, and correct me, but you also mentioned son of mine.
Right.
Where does that, what is that associated with?
Well, Ben, it means son.
Ben. Benjamin?
Benjamin means son of mine.
That is so beautiful. Okay, and then Netanyahu means the gift of God.
Right. Natan is a paladin that's spelled the same forward as backwards. It's an interesting thing. It's a teaching in itself. As you give, you receive. So the name give in Hebrew is Natan, N-A-T-A-N. And Yahu is Yahuwah, which is God.
Well, back in the 1990s, in the mid-1990s, Benjamin Netanyahu was in power. And Dan, he was such an impressive man. And I was just so taken with his strength. And I believe that he was called by God. And then he lost power. He was defeated. And I was devastated. And, you know, just looking at the time, at the present back then, you know, what we were living in back then. And I was so distraught because I knew in my heart that God had called him to be Israel's leader. And I could not understand why he was defeated and taken out of that power, that position of leadership for Israel. But it was only when he was elected and restored and returned to power that I understood that he was needed for such a time as this, that this was the hour, this was the time that God was calling him to, and then it made sense to me, you know. But I think that lesson, I'm learning that lesson, that you know, what God says no to at a particular time doesn't, you know, that it may come later. The restoration of something may come later, or the restoration of someone may come later. It wasn't final. It was not final. The leadership of Benjamin Netanyahu, when he was defeated, that was not final. The Lord raised him, and he was God's man for this time, this perilous time.
Oh, indeed, Miss Barbara. And to Miss Barbara, how good of God to give us a contrast in this presidential election, because I don't remember for a long time that there has been such a two men that really make people bend down their knees and say, Lord, this is the way we want to go. I mean, we look at a man who has a child that normally that child would not even be born. And it's like God is holding up a mirror to us. Choose you life or choose you death. And I really think that there is so much truth in that a lot of Americans do not realize. But it's like God in his wisdom is holding up that mirror for those that would hear, have ears to hear and eyes to see. Mr. Dan?
Oh, I got to tell you something here. The very word for heaven in Hebrew is an eye-opener. You know that Shema means to listen. The word for heaven in Hebrew is Shama'in, which means a place of listeners.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Oh,
well,
God is good. Miss Barbara, that sounds like it's a... We needed to hear that, didn't we, Miss Barbara?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You know, I'd like to bring back what I just said to what Dan said about, you know, Jesus was spoken of and written as the King of the Jews, and now is the time for us to pray for the Jews of the King, and most especially Benjamin Netanyahu, and all the Jews of the King.
Which we are part of regret.
Say that again, Mr. Dan. I'm sorry.
Well, Romans 11 tells us that we are Jews more so than those that are ethnically Jews when we become grafted onto the nation of Israel and we've accepted the Messiah. So we are Jews. Even if you're not a Jew, you're a Jew if you worship God. You believe
in
the Lord Jesus.
If our hearts are circumcised.
Exactly.
Well, I almost feel like we are in a very pivotal time in history, and I love what Don Wildman says. Every election to her is important, and I agree with that now that I know more about what elections really mean, because I used to really not pay attention. But there's something about this time around, Mr. Dan, Ms. Barbara, and it's like, you know, this world has been turned upside down. Good is now being called evil. And it's like, you know, God in his goodness gives us choices. And like I said, choose you life or choose you death. So really, America, when we go to the election, you know, it is like we are telling God this is the way we choose. And so it's really, I'm thinking more than ever, it's just pivotal. It's like God is really going to watch which way we go. He always watches. But it's like we cannot say he did not give us a chance.
That's right.
Well, God is so good. And I just thank God for, you know, the listening audience, which, Mr. Dan, the enemy doesn't like us because we've had the most problem this month, more than any month, with our podcast. Our podcast had grown so much, I can't even tell people how many listens we get because I just can't even hardly grasp it myself. But this month, we have had the problems. It's like the enemy does not want us to be heard. But, Ms. Barbara, we keep getting such awesome guests that, you know, people can't help it.
Yep.
Because we are proclaiming the truth, and it's so fitting, the name City on a Hill. And I believe, you know, God is, you know, he orders our steps, he orders our lives, and for the listeners that are now tuning in, and it's really incredible, I think they're finding out that, you know, God says he does not want us to perish for lack of knowledge. And if you lack knowledge, you know, it's a matter of, I think, asking God to, you know, open up your heart, let you seek him, and he will open the door for you. And so we're so glad to be here. We want you to share this podcast with everyone because more and more, I think the time draws near, and it's not just election that's at stake here. I think it's the souls of our children, Mr. Dan, which the enemy, again, as we've seen Hitler, he used the youth, you know, in that day. And again, now it's America's children, I think, is the price of which way we choose. And a lot of people don't see that. And as a matter of fact, the establishment Republicans, Ms. Barbara, I hate to see it, they do not see that. And it's very fitting about the Purim, Mr. Dan, because when I think of it, you know, the enemy would like to just cultivate and really make a harvest of the future with our children's mind being led away from the Lord, because that's common core. And, Ms. Barbara, that is a hot issue in our state this time, in this election. That is a hot topic issue in Alabama because the board has a chance to be changing so we can get rid of this common core standards, which is really a national standards where Washington gets to direct the minds of our children. But at the same time, Mr. Dan, that's what was going to happen with Purim. The Jewish nation was going to be destroyed. And I think, you know, there is a path being made to destroy the faith-believing Christians of this nation.
Well, you know, we've already lost the higher education
our colleges are full of decadent, far leftist-minded professors. So they're just reaching back earlier and earlier. They're going all the way back to elementary to try to brainwash our children into acting, acting for the darkness, the kingdom of darkness, rather than the kingdom of light.
Dan, I wanted to share some good news with you because over the time that I've known you and that we've talked and you've shared so much with us and we've talked about the church throughout history and the Catholic Church, many references to that and the mistakes being made during the course of the years of the church, pagan influences coming in and so forth and different mistakes. And so I think that you will be very heartened and encouraged to know that during this past year, I believe it's throughout the world, the church universal, but I know that within the United States of America, there has been a study being done, and many participants in it throughout the country, and it's a continuing study in every Catholic church in the country. But it's been the story of salvation from Genesis through Revelation, and making the connection that you tell us over and over again, the connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the connection, all the connections and between the Jewish people and the Christian people. And it's a beautiful, beautiful study that's ongoing. And so there will be many more knowledgeable and people praying for the Jews of the King, the chosen people in Israel, as well as the body of Christ, those who are circumcised in heart and have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so I just wanted to share that with you, and it's very exciting. It's an excellent study. And the same material going into every parish throughout this country.
Barbara and Diane, I've got a customer, so if you want to know what I'm doing in the background, I'm picking out mats and frames.
Well, thank you. That's good. That's very good. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, awesome.
Good. I wanted you to know that. I thought you might be very encouraged.
Well, Mr. Dan, we're going to talk and let you take care of that business, and you just come back on when you get a chance. But, you know, that's one of the special things about Mr. Dan, listeners. He never turns us away. If at all possible, he will come on whatever day we ask of him because of an experience he's had a long time ago. So he never wants to lose an opportunity to talk about God. And Ms. Barbara, we are so thankful for that, too, because we don't want anybody to miss out on heaven. There's a lot of you out there, very smart, very well-trained in your line of work, maybe even have a lot of money. But, you know, Jesus is really the holder of everything, Ms. Barbara, money. And everything else, and the Bible is true. He says he has a place for us in heaven. You know, there's a mansion for us in heaven. So it's really very exciting what's ahead. And if you've never tried to find out about Jesus, we really ask that you do that because this Holy Scripture, they've tried to really find out so many things about it and to just prove it's wrong. But, Ms. Barbara, they can't do it.
Well, you know, so many, we read stories, true stories of so many who set out to disprove the Bible, and they end up coming to know that it is the truth and that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father in heaven except through Jesus, that Jesus is the way. But many people don't see their need of Jesus, and they don't understand that he is the only way. They don't understand that Jesus is the only one who paid our sin debt. You know, we live in a world today where everything is seen and heard and many times experienced, and, you know, it's the motto is do what's right in your own eyes, and you know, and everybody's doing it, and anything goes, and nothing much is seen as sin, except perhaps they tell us that intolerance is sin, and that's about the only thing, or not approving of other people's lifestyle. They say that's sinful and that's hateful. But the fact is, and the truth is, that there is sin. And when we're born into this world, we're born into this world with a sin nature. And until the Holy Spirit of God fills us with himself, until we come to that place where we recognize that there is a God who created the heavens and the earth, and that he created mankind in his own image and likeness, but man turned away from him. Adam did that in the garden, and he disobeyed God. And from that point, because we are the seed of Adam, we were there with him in the garden when he disobeyed God and rebelled against God. And we have that seed of rebellion in us when we're born. So that's got to be dealt with. And we cannot enjoy the everlasting goodness and graciousness of God Almighty in heaven until we turn from our wicked ways and we turn to God and ask. We can't fix ourselves. We've talked about that before. We cannot fix ourselves. We cannot earn salvation. There's no amount of good that we can do on this earth to earn it. It is a gift from God through his Son, Jesus Christ, who took my sin, and it was nailed to the cross through the blessed, precious hands of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that sin was nailed to the cross, and the only way that I can be free from that sin is to come to God through the cross of Jesus Christ, through the merits of Jesus Christ, and he paid my debt. So I receive him, and then heaven is open to me, and I am a child of God through the merits of Jesus Christ, and I receive his life. I can't keep my own life. I can't keep my old life, but I receive the new life of Jesus Christ within me. Behold, all things become new, and I am translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. And when the Lord God, Father, creator of heaven and earth, looks at me now, he sees me through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, Diana, a lot of people may still not understand that. I didn't understand that until I came to God in humbleness, in humility, and said, Jesus, I need you. And when I called out to God in sincerity and in humility, he came to me. He came to me, and he saved me. And he set my feet upon a rock. And heaven was open to me from that point. And no longer were my prayers just words, but now I have communion with God the Father through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm so grateful, as I know you are, Diana.
Oh, indeed, Miss Barbara. What a privilege it is to know that our names are written in heaven. And, you know, we do what we do, not because we have to do it, but really out of love, out of gratefulness for you know, the price that was paid by Jesus on the cross. He didn't have to do that. He was the, you know, he was the Lord of heaven. My goodness, he didn't have to come down and, you know, wash the feet of man and you know, and lay the sin of the sins of the world on his shoulder. But he did that. And Miss Barbara, my heart just bleeds, really, when I think of those that know better, does not do better, because the decision that they make cost not just lives, not just families, it costs souls. So we're here at the crossroad. There are those that would look at this world through physical eyes only, but we're not physical creatures alone. We are spiritual creatures also, and there is eternity. You know, I think in our soul, everyone knows that. Everyone yearns for more. And we can find it only through Jesus Christ. And that's why I say, please get involved in what is going on in politics, in praying for the people around you, in holding up Israel, and that also that there may be laws made that are better, that would promote the ways of God so that more people will enter heaven, because it's the greatest gift of all. You know, hell is something I do not wish on my worst enemy, because it's not just for a day, it's not just for 10 years, not just 40 years, it is forever. How unkind of us, Miss Barbara, who knows there is eternity in hell and knows there is eternity in heaven, you know, not stand up and really share with the people what is going to be coming up before them. So I'm just urging listeners, you know, do it by yourself. And, you know, I know some people have to put up a front in front of their friends, but listen, your soul is yours alone. Forever is yours alone. Your friends are not going to matter when that time comes and, you know, you find out you made the wrong decision. So we just urge you, go and get a Bible. Ask God to reveal his word to you and then go from there. And so I just thank God for this privilege. And Mr. Dan, I don't know if you're able to join us, but as always, we'd love for you to close us in prayer or and give us some more words.
Well, I'm here.
Well, give us some of your closing thoughts, Mr. Dan. And, of course, we would love for you to just close this pivotal time for our families, our children, really for souls of this nation.
Well, just in the closing thoughts and what was on my mind is that we're going to have to stand with other Christians and with Israel during this time of darkness in order to be able to share in the light of his second coming, the harvest time. It's going to be a wonderful time. And the very word for bottomless pit, for hell or whatever, actually means a void, just like in the beginning where there was a void before the world was created. It's nothingness. You know, how horrible it would be to have consciousness but no communication with your Heavenly Father or with anything except your, I guess maybe your thoughts. I don't know what hell entails. I don't want to know. I just know that I have prepared myself to meet the King. And that's what's important, because he's fixing to come. Abba, Father, Lord, we just praise you and thank you, Lord. Baruch Baba Shem Adonai, blessed are you who comes in the name of the Lord. And, Father, we just look forward to your return. The Jews are looking forward to your return. Even secular music that's coming out of Israel now is looking and crying for their Messiah. And, Lord, you are their Messiah that we have already accepted into our hearts. We know you, and we just ask you to share yourself with them as soon as possible. Protect them, guide them, and direct them. Be with the people of this nation, Lord, that their eyes and ears may be open to the truth and not be led away by propaganda and lies. And, Lord, help prayer, again, become important in Christians' lives. Fasting and praying, Lord, is synonymous. And, Lord, help us get down on our face and truly seek you and prepare our lives for your return, cleaning up our houses, cleaning up our ways, preparing the house for you who return, Lord. We just praise you and thank you for everything. Thank you for this program. Thank you for everyone out there that's listening, Lord. I just ask you to send your Holy Spirit down and touch each and every one of them to show that you are truly there and you're listening. And, Father, we just thank you once again. Amen.
Amen. And Ms. Barbara, if you don't mind, I'm going to let you close. I just thank you both. Thank you, Mr. Dan.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Diana. And we're so grateful for Dan Fraley and his words of wisdom today. You know, listeners, this podcast can be used as a witnessing tool to those who do not yet know and love the Lord. So we encourage you to use it and share it with your family and friends, wherever they are. Also, you'll find other podcasts that can help you become knowledgeable, become informed, and all of them in every podcast that's on our website, cityonahill.tv. You will find podcasts that will inspire you and your loved ones, so share them. We ask you to, and listeners, we thank you for joining us today, and we ask that the Lord would bless you and keep you and to make his face to shine upon you. In Jesus' name, thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.